First, let me take this moment to welcome you to the January 2012 issue of Gospel Gazette Online. This gospel journal is edited by my friend and brother in Christ, Lewis Rushmore. I am Tim Childs, the evangelist of the Hillcrest Church of Christ, located in Baldwin, Mississippi, and I'm honored to be your host for this 5 to 7 minute audio feature, A Word Between Friends. It is certainly our hope that you will be strengthened by the Bible-based material in this month's issue. Have you ever heard of the famous Hetty Green? Oh, that was not her real name. She was born Henrietta Howland Robinson in 1834 in the seaport city of New Bedford, Massachusetts. Hetty was a unique woman, to say the least. Her father was a remarkably successful businessman in the whaling industry. It is said that by the age of 6, Hetty was reading financial papers to her father, and at age 13, she became the family bookkeeper. So, at a very young age, due to her father and grandfather's influence, she took a special interest in business and investing. When her father died in 1864, she inherited an estate of about $7.5 million. Remember, that was 1864. That would have corresponded to about $107 million in 2010. Hetty Green was the first woman to have an influence on Wall Street. She was a shrewd and successful investor. The city of New York is said to have come to her on multiple occasions to borrow money, which she did loan at least once to the city. At the turn of the century in 1900, when the average household was making $500 or less a year, by comparison, she was making $7 million per year. Hetty died in 1916. Her estate at her death in $2,006 is estimated to have been between $1.9 and $3.8 billion. Hetty Green was a woman who had riches beyond imagination for most of us. Yet she lived as though she was flat broke, a pauper. You might say she was the mother queen of stingy misers. In fact, she earned the title of the world's greatest miser in the Guinness Book of World Records. Hetty is said to have lived on $5 a week, eating her oatmeal cold or warming it on a radiator at work to avoid the expense of warming it. To cut living costs, she refused to use hot water. To save on soap, she would wear her garments for weeks on end, only having them spot cleaned. She lived in cheap apartments under an assumed name. Sadly, her children were impacted by her miserly lifestyle. When her son was injured in an accident, she sought free advice from physicians on how to medically treat her son at home. She even attempted repeatedly to get her son admitted into free clinics for the poor, as though she could not afford it. Ultimately, her son's leg had to be amputated because gangrene set in. Delay, refusing to spend what was at her disposal for the health and well-being of her son. $1.9 to $3.8 billion. Yet she lived as though she was poverty-stricken. This way of living is wrong for Christians on a number of levels. But our lesson today is not about covetousness and greed. As Christians, you and I need to guard against living our spiritual lives as did Hetty Green. Before God, we often live our lives as though we are destitute, rather than as one having unimaginable, indescribable storehouses of spiritual blessings from God for our daily use. The word riches appears 5 times in the book of Ephesians, and chapter 1 has properly been called the blessing chapter. As you may be aware, the Apostle Paul spent considerable time working with the Lord's people and evangelizing the lost in and around the city of Ephesus and outlying areas during his third missionary journey. The church was also enriched by the ministry of other great leaders such as Apollos, the eloquent evangelist, the husband-wife team, Aquila and Priscilla. Then there was Paul's son in the faith, Timothy, as well as the beloved disciple, John, whom tradition says may have lived in Ephesus the last 20 to 30 years of his life. Paul penned the letter to the saints at Ephesus probably between 60 and 62 AD, when he was held a prisoner of Rome, having appealed to Caesar for justice just a few years before. Paul wanted to encourage the holy and faithful brethren who were living in Ephesus and the region of Asia Minor. He wanted them to be assured that all spiritual blessings are supplied by God, our Father, and not Artemis, or Diana, as she was sometimes called. In almost all of Asia, according to Demetrius, a silversmith, the Apostle Paul had been effective in teaching against the concept of gods made with men's hands. Demetrius, of course, was most concerned that his livelihood was in jeopardy. This from Acts 19. James records in the epistle by his hand, in James 1:17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. Paul, in the letter in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." How fitting, then, are the lyrics of the doxology, a brief hymn of praise written by Thomas Ken nearly 340 years ago in the year 1674. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Along with Paul, our focus is set on God. He has given us life anew through the new birth. He sustains us in every way each moment of the day. Again, Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessed be the God. This word blessed comes from a word in the original language which means praise. Incidentally, it is the same word from which eulogy is derived. So the idea is that God is to be greatly praised for what He has done and continues to do through the instrumentality of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Praise. The Father is to be praised from our innermost being, and this praise is expressed by our lips which were made by the hands of God. To be a child of Hetty Green, what would that be like? No thanks. We shouldn't live our lives as though we're children of Hetty Green. Thank you so much for sharing these brief moments with me, and it is my prayer that one day we can meet and be together on the other side, inside the palace of the King of Kings.